Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone, and happy post-Thanksgiving. I hope you can all wake up. I know people are still eating all the creative leftovers from their turkey, but I hope you can spare some time to join us for this amazing dialogue that is about to take place. My honored guest is hanging out with me in the virtual green room, and I will be bringing her on live in a moment. So in the meantime, tweet, text, and call everyone you know, because this is a dialogue that they want to be a part of.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
You know, I am so honored of the conversation that is about to take place, because when I was led to go to Awesomeness Fest, which is the event I went to 2 weeks ago in the Dominican Republic, I know it was not by accident. As a matter of fact, the guest I had on last week, Lee Bauer, I met there. And the guest that I am having on today, Vasavi, I also met there. So I am saying that to let you know that when the universe directs you to do something, don't fight against it and don't ask why me or why I should. You just need to be bold and to show up. Because once you are present in the moment, you don't really know what is going to take place in your life. And I'm here to tell you that this conversation that is about to take place will be rocking your world. However, before I want to welcome caller 408, if you want to speak and you're not just listening, once we begin, if you touch the number 1, I think it will let me know you want to speak and not listen. However, I will check in with you whether you want to speak or not. I want to do a little bit of housekeeping, because I would not be doing you any good if I don't. I want to invite you to connect with me on Twitter, at Dynamic Daphne, and Facebook.com, also at Dynamic Daphne. I want you to visit DaphneClarkHudson.com, and I want for you to sign up there to receive my transformational tips for each day. I'm putting those together, and that's going to be my investment in all of my listeners the beginning of 2014. So if you want to be a recipient of those, just visit me at DaphneClarkHudson.com. Also, on the 3rd, I am part of the Heart-Centered Bootcamp, where I will be speaking on claiming and knowing your why. So for that, you can sign up at dynamicdaphne.com, HCBB 2013. That's DaphneClarkHudson.com/HCBB 2013. And it's a free summit, and all the information are there for you. For the first 100 person that signs up to listen to my speech there, I am gifting you with 30 minutes of transformational coaching. So if you're interested in getting a taste of what I do, grab your slot there. Also, for those of you who have been listening for a while, you've heard me mention about my nonprofit, the Empowering People Foundation, Inc. And this organization was put together to provide a breakfast, hot breakfast, 5 days a week for 100 students at my former elementary school in Jamaica, West Indies. So I need your help, ladies and gentlemen. I need your support. So you can inbox me, you can message me either off my social media or here on the radio show, or send me an email at dynamicdaphne12@att.net. I need your support. I need your dollar bill. I need your manpower. I need your insight and your input, because our long-range goal and focus is to also build a cafeteria for my former elementary school there in Jamaica, West Indies. So I need all your insights. I know I have brilliant people out there who are listening. I need you on my advisory board. I need you as my board of directors. I need you to help me to raise the funds, because I know this is a big mission. And I know it was not intended for me alone to accomplish it. So here I am reaching out to you. I know this is a viable project because it is bigger than I am. So please support me there. And for those of you in the chat room, you are welcome to call in 646-915-8166. And you can also type your questions in the little box below. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the moment that we have been waiting for, let us not wait any longer. I want to welcome to this conversation today my friend and colleague, Vasavi Kumar. Hi, Vasavi. How are you, my sister?
I'm good, Daphne. Oh, my God. I have never received such an energetic, passionate intro.
Oh,
thank you. I'm so excited right now to have me on.
Oh, thank you. Because you know something? You are what you receive. And you are energy. And what you exude is what you get back. And it's such an honor for me to have you interested in investing in my listeners and to be part of the vision that I'm do. So I honor you, my sister. I see you, I embrace you, and I accept you in my section of the world that I am operating in. So I honor and thank you so, so very much.
Thanks, Daphne. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I tell you, we met briefly at the Awesomeness Fest, and we spent time over lunch, and we're actually talking about some of the ways that I can personally invest in myself and evolve in what I am doing. And little did I know the power of your story. And we had not mentioned about your story there. But as we spoke on the phone after the event there, I learned about the powerhouse you are and how much you have to offer to the world. A lot of people, we look around and we see individuals there and we don't know their stories, but we all have a story. But I want to start from the beautiful Indian princess. I want to start at the humble beginning, because let's talk about the girl that entered into this world. Let's talk about you, and then we are going to climb to where you are today.
It definitely was a climb. I'm not even gonna undervalue that at all. It was definitely a climb to get to where I am, and I don't regret a single bit of the journey, because honestly, I would not be who I am or where I am today had I not gone through that climb. So let's start with the Indian princess. I have no problem calling myself that, since you just did. So I was born and raised on Coney Island, New York. My parents are Indian immigrants. They came here in 1975 from India. And my mom came here. She's a doctor. My father was a CPA, an accountant. And they both came here, and they had my sister and I. And, you know, like most parents, you know, like all parents, you know, I would hope, they wanted the best for my sister and I, my older sister and I. So, you know, I grew up in a very traditional, conservative Indian home. Like, our family are, you know, if I could compare us to any other type of religious group, it would be, we're like Orthodox Jewish people, okay? We are very, and very Orthodox Muslims, and we're Hindu, but, you know, very strict about what we eat, our praying rituals. You know, we would pray for 2 hours a day, and I wasn't, but with that, you know, I wasn't allowed to talk to boys, date boys, go anywhere, do anything.
Hello.
But I got to say something, you know, my older sister was very obedient. She was, as my mom would say, the good daughter, right? She always just said yes, and okay, this is just the way it is. I, on the other hand, you know, from a very young age, Daphne, I don't know what, I honestly think it was my blessing that from a very young age, I've always questioned and I've always asked why. And literally, I can remember from the age of probably 5 or 6 asking myself, why am I here? Who am I? What is this life all about? And I think what triggered that was, you know, my parents didn't want my sister and I to lose our culture. So every year since the age of 2 years old, we would go back to India. And I remember when I was 4 years old and I was in India with my mom, we'd stay with my grandparents, and I witnessed this man eating or digging into a garbage dumpster, and he was eating a banana peel.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even eating the actual banana. Like, he was eating a banana peel. And I just remember saying to my mother, you know, 4 years old, I didn't know any better. I just asked her, why do people have to suffer? Why do people have suffering in this world? And certainly, what can I do to prevent or to mitigate people suffering? So for me, I didn't understand how I grew up in a house that was so abundant. There was always food in the fridge. There was always food on the table. I had everything. And then why were there people across the world that didn't have anything? Like literally no home, no place to go to the bathroom, no food. So I think that was the defining moment in my life, Daphne, where I really saw that, you know, I was not just put here to exist.
That's right. You were put here to thrive, yes. And, you know, Vasavi, I can relate to what you just say, because I have a lot of traditional Indian friends, not the ones that are East Indians as they label them, but Indians from India. So I know that what you are talking about is true. I have been part of a lot of the official ceremonies for you know, age differences and all of that. So I understand what it is, and to I understand about teenagers, children who grew up here in those tradition, and especially when it comes around to the time for dating, where your tradition said, no, it doesn't happen here. So here you are in turmoil in a culture that is different. I've seen it, and I can affirm what it is that you're saying, that it's not made up. It is true.
Yeah, so I love what you said about the turmoil, because that's exactly what it was. Because here I was, I grew up on Long Island. I moved to Long Island when I was one, 1983. I'm 31 mm-hmm. now, but you know, when mm-hmm. I was I was 1 year old, we moved to Long Island. Then, you know, mm-hmm. growing up, I grew up in an all white town. We were one of two mm-hmm. families, Indian families. So I was constantly in turmoil because, you know, 8 hours of the day, I'd be at school with all these American kids whose parents. Mm-hmm. really didn't have a lot of rules, and they could do whatever they want, but then I'd go home, and then I'd have this very conservative Indian house. So I mm. never knew what was the right thing to do, because
that's
I
right.
still wanted to fit in, but mm. I also mm. wanted to respect, you know, the way I was raised. So
yeah, the legacy of what you have. I want to, if you just take a breath, I want to just go to this person on the phone line here and see if they don't want to speak. It's fine. But I want to at least go into them and see. So, caller 480, would you state your name and where you're calling from, please? Your last, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in area code 408, so I guess that's me, right?
Yes, that's you. We always get excited when we hear a gentleman on the other end. What's your name and where you're calling from?
So my name is Mark, and I'm calling from Santa Fe, California.
Oh, hi, I know
hey,
you.
Hey, Mark.
And we know you, Mark. How are you, my brother?
I'm awesome, and I'm really happy to be included in on this, although I was really more interested than hearing me. I'd rather hear more of Asavi. Wanting to follow the whole story.
Yes. Well, thank you so very much. And during the conversation, if you have a remark or a comment you want to make, if you touch one, then it will tell me you want to talk. Again, I thank you for taking time out to join us.
Oh, my pleasure. I will do that.
Yes. Okay. All right, that's another family member. Isn't it amazing, Vasavi, when we can
so
get
happy.
This support? Yeah.
Yeah, I was so happy when I heard that it was Mark. I'm so happy that
yeah.
he's listening in.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so we talk about that, you growing up and you challenging the status quo from an early age, you being so observant, even at the tender age of 4, to see, that's not normal for somebody to be eating a banana peel. When in your home, you can eat 3-4 bananas if you want. But you know
yes.
that there was something that was not right about that. And from
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
observation, and as you climb up your age, what happened and what transpired?
So, you know, piggybacking off of that and also never feeling like I quite fit in, you know, I don't know if you have ever felt this way, Daphne, but for a very long time and even sometimes to this day, I never quite feel like I belong here, right? And what I mean is I feel like the questions that I ask, and, you know, I go to places like Awesomeness Fest because we're so like-minded. Everybody that comes, we're always asking those big questions. But for the majority of my life growing up, I never quite felt like belong here. Like, I was clear about that because, you know, at the age of 12, when all my classmates were trying to get their first kiss, you know, I was thinking about, you know, how can I help this person? Or what can I do to be a better person? You know, I was always trying to improve myself, and I never quite fit in. I never fit in growing up because I was different. I looked different. I acted different. My parents were brown. I was brown. So I never quite felt like I fit in, but you know, growing up then, I did what I had to do to protect myself, right? So what that looked like for me growing up was always trying to fit in with the in crowd, right? So I had my first cigarette when I was 12 years old so I could fit in with the cool kids, right?
Can
that was my thing. I was like, oh, I just got to do what people want me to do because otherwise I'm not going to be liked, right? As human beings, we're either trying to look good or avoid looking bad, right? Mm-hmm. And that was my whole shtick growing up, I never wanted to be disliked.
Right. I want to just interject here a bit, Vasavi, because I'm from Jamaica, West Indies. And I can remember I had no idea that I was a black woman until I came here to the USA. I came here and all of a sudden I was a black woman. I had an accent. I was a single parent and the labels continue and continue and continue. In Jamaica, I was a person living a life and adding value to the lives of other people in whatever I did. And I came here into this country and found out that there were so many boxes that I was squeezed into. And up until this day, there are a lot of events that I go to. And I'm the only one there with my hair texture and my skin color. But I'm happy to be there. I know I'm placed there for a difference, to make a difference. I remember years ago I went to a happy hour at one of the local hotels here. And I was sitting at a table and this gentleman asked me what work I did. And at the time, I was doing more speaking than coaching. And I said to him, oh, I'm a motivational speaker, I said to him. He said, oh, really? He said, you can't be a motivational speaker. You have an accent. Oh, really? I said, you watch me. Because I know once he challenged me, that's what happened. When you challenge me, you see a whole different side of me that you never expected. And that was such an eye-opener for me to be in a society where people are going to label you because of your accent or the color of your skin or the texture of your hair. So I understand and I can relate with what you are saying.
So unlike you, Daphne, that you were not aware of the fact that you looked different or you sounded different until you came here, it was apparent to me from a very young age that I was different. It was in my face, every single day when I was teased for being Indian, for my mom. She used to wear a dot on her forehead because we're Hindu, because we had a different name, because I would often come into school smelling like curry because we'd cook Indian food at home. And so let me fast forward a little bit, so growing up, teenage years are often the hardest. And so that's really when I started to lose sight of who I was. See, I was always on the search for who am I? Who is this person that God has created called Vasavi? What is her identity? And so I was everything and everyone anyone wanted me to be. It's like I didn't have that core foundation of who I was because I was constantly seeking and trying to fit in. And so, you fast forward going to college, and that's really kind of when I would say I hit my rock bottom because that's when I really started to experiment more with drugs. I was using cocaine probably 5 to 6 days a week. I was drinking all the time. I was engaging in, engaging with many sexual partners, just trying to find, well, who am I? Like, who is this person called Vasavi? And I think a lot of it was, and I think we have a problem with this in Western society, is medicating ourselves and numbing ourselves. And because we cannot be with whatever pain and suffering that we may have, we use outside substances and we use things external to us for us to heal whatever pain we're going through. So So I think on that search of trying to find out who I was, I ended up doing a lot of destructive things to myself, to my mind, to my body, to my spirit, emotionally. And, ultimately what happened sophomore year of college is that, it's funny, I was taking a psychology class and I was reading all about mood disorders, specifically bipolar disorder. And I remember calling up my mother and I said to my mother, I think I have bipolar disorder because I had every single symptom. bipolar disorder, right. But I couldn't tell my mother the truth, because then I'd have to tell her the whole truth. I'd have to tell her, right? So I transferred back home to New York, and I got some help, and I was put on medication. But I think ultimately the point that I'm trying to make here is what I've learned throughout, you know, my 31 years of existence is that the answer is never outside of you. Whatever you are seeking is not outside of you. And I learned that the hard way. And I don't regret or feel bad for anything that's ever happened. But I mean, if I hadn't gone through that, I would not have come to the realization that I've had for a while now is, oh, if I'm feeling unhappy or if I'm feeling stressed out or if I'm feeling anxious or depressed, nothing outside of me can make me feel better. No one or nothing can make you feel better. It is a choice for you to pick yourself up. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people are still doing. They are pointing fingers. They are blaming. They keep playing the blame game. But until you decide to show up and be present in your truth, nothing is going to change in your life. If it is to be, it's up to me. And whether it's going to be today, tomorrow, or 6 months down the road, I must show up and be present to make that difference and make the changes that I think I truly deserve. And a lot of time, Vasavi, it's the shame and the ego and the pride that has hold people hostage, because they look up and say, no, I can't tell my truth. I have to live in the shadow of what people think, you know, what they're going to say if I say this, you know, how they're going to think about me. And really and truly, that's not important. It's really not important, because once we show up with our truth and embrace and accept it, it's like you begin to soar on the wings of eagles.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the movie The Secret, right, like, I think people think that it is really, there's some mystery to success, but what I have learned and what I know for sure is that there is no secret to success. There's no magic pill. There is no formula.
Right.
It boils down to believing in yourself and understanding that your fear is normal and it is okay to be scared, and you do not have to heal in order to take action. That healing and taking action can coexist. And that if I could sum it up completely, you know, when people ask me, what's my purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. And I say, you know what? The fact that you are born, the fact that you were created says enough. And it's your job to be fully self-expressed. It's your job to find out what that is. And the way that, I mean, my so-called secret, the way that I found out what my purpose is, and I love this quote by Yogi Bhajan, and he says, when you feel helpless, help another human being. Because I know one thing, Daphne, there's nothing in life that brings you greater joy than to bring another person happiness and to help somebody else.
That's right. That's the truth. Once you begin to help somebody else, you realize you don't have any problems. You realize, oh, please, my problem is a mustard seed to what that other person is doing. And you realize, here I am, thinking I have issue, but I don't have any issue, because that person has a greater problem and than what I am going through. But a lot of time we are so consumed by our stuff, and we don't let anybody else in, and that's where the struggle is.
Well, here's the thing, right? I don't want to discount what people go through, because the fact of the matter
it's their experience.
Right, it's their experience and it's what you do with it. So we all have our stuff, we all have our story, we all have our issues. I have issues, I have stories, I have all of that. But what differentiates me from another person who may feel stuck like they can't move is that I know that what I'm going through is a lesson. And I don't
That's
look
right.
at my obstacles as obstacles. Every time I am up against something, you know, if I initially think, oh, my God, why is this happening? I just have to shift it. And I say to myself, wait a minute, God, why is this happening? What are you trying to teach me here? Because I know that nothing in life is an accident. Nothing.
Oh, no. There's it's a lesson. And, you know, once we take the time to learn the lesson, we move on to the next step. It's when we don't learn the lessons that we linger in the system, in whatever is happening.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I think for your listeners who are tuned in, you know, when people ask me, you know, I'm stuck, or I have an idea and I have a dream and I don't know where to begin, can you give me the step-by-step formula? I said, you know what? The step-by-step formula is simply this. Just start.
Just start. You're showing up.
Yeah, you have to just start. And in this day and age, when we have so much information and knowledge right at our fingertips, you have absolutely no excuse why you can't get started.
That's right. And that's right. That's right.
When people come to me and they say that, you know, they want to start a business or they have this book idea or whatever, I don't get right into the strategy of it. I can do that with my eyes closed. What I ask people is, how bad do you want it? And how stupid are you willing to look? Because guess what? Not everybody's going to get your vision, because you know why? It's not their vision to get. It's your vision. You have to believe in it. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I mean, I have my mom, you know, when I first went into business, she didn't understand why I'd want to work for myself when I could easily get a job and I have two masters. And she'd say to me, why don't you use your education? And I said, listen, you know what? This is the path that I'm choosing. This is what I'm doing. Like, and I get where she's coming from, but just, you're always going to be up against people who don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. But at the end of the day, you only have to answer to yourself. Nobody else.
That's right. Because, you know, everybody, and, you know, God knows our relatives, they love us. They love us dearly. And they don't want to see us hurt. They don't want to see us go through pain. And they want us all to have a job with benefits, good benefits. So that's why they ask those questions. I mean, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? You don't have a regular paycheck. And all of that good stuff. And it's up to us. That's terrible. Don't be asking your spouses or family member to be your coach or mentor, because they cannot be your family and do those things to you, because they're not going to allow you to stretch. Because to you, for them, it's too much pain, and they don't want to see you, especially a parent. They don't want to see their child or children going through pain. So they want you to be into that secure job. You go, you get your vacation, you come home at 5 o'clock, you go back tomorrow morning, and you're unhappy. And that's their job. That's their position as family members who love you. But you got to listen to your authentic place and to that journey and mission that it has called you to. And it is in the beginning, Vaishavi, I assure you, you can affirm that it's going to be a lonely place. But so long as you believe in that calling, you will continue, because once people see you excelling, they're going to say, oh, I always know you would be good at this. Which I'm sure your mother has come around now and see the reason why you do what you're doing.
Yeah, she gets it now. But, you know, I would say I used it as motivation. You know, for every time, and I love my mother to death. You know, I have a very sacred relationship with her. I love her dearly. And I also respect her for not getting my vision, because it's not her vision.
It's not hers, no.
Right, but she gets it now. But regardless of whether she got it or not, Daphne, I would have continued to do what I was doing. I do not get too attached, if at all, to what other people think of me or their opinion of me. You know, does it ever hurt if I hear someone say something about me? Of course it does. I'm a human with emotion, but I also have this other side to me that's, you know what? That's their opinion of me. It's nothing more than a thought in their head. So, you know, I think the point is here, you know, every single one of us has what it takes to do anything we want. I mean, I was talking about this with my friend Jen, and she said to me, you know, Bob, not all of us can do everything, but we can do anything. There's a big difference.
Exactly. And you can do that thing that you are called to do, because that thing is your responsibility, and you don't want to exit out of here. You really don't want your name to be called, and you exit out of here without doing that thing that you were created to be. And I think a lot of the challenge that we encounter is that people are trying to do what somebody else is called to do, instead of staying in their lane and running their race. Everybody's looking out there and competing with the next person. The next person's mission and vision is none of your business. I'm getting a lot of disturbance there. I don't know what's going on with you. But it's not. You got to stay focused. And, you know, you need to find individuals that can help you stay true to that thing that you were called to be. Because, you know, I hear people say, oh, I can't find my calling. The honest truth is your calling is not lost. If you listen to your heart, if you take the quiet time, if you journal and spend time to go on the inside, you're going to find out, hey, here it is. It has been staring me for my entire life, because people are always looking and say, oh, my calling is not as grand as yours. But that's where you are making the mistake. It's not supposed to be as grand as yours. Yours is as grand as you, the person that got that. So it's a lot of lessons that we need to learn, and just slow our time down and to learn those lessons and put fear aside, because the fear is what is preventing us from just evolving to that place where we need. Vasavi, so as you look over, you went through childhood, you went to college, you experiment, and you know, God spare you, the universe spare you, whoever it is, your guardian angel spare you, that you can be using your story to help to change the lives of others. What are valuable lessons that you have learned that you could tell somebody to shorten their learning curve today?
There's many. Okay, so the first thing I think I would say is you don't need to be ready to do anything. That at any given moment, you are perfect for whatever that opportunity is. That you got to trust and believe that you wouldn't be presented with an idea, even if you have a thought in your mind about doing something, whatever that is. You wouldn't be even that the fact that that thought has entered your mind is divine, and so you need to respect that. So I'll give you a perfect example, Daphne. You know, two months ago, I felt like something was missing in my life, and I was talking to my husband, and we just were brainstorming, and what I realized was I really wanted to pursue vegetarian culinary school. I've been wanting to do that since I was five. I've wanted to be a vegetarian chef and go to school and open a restaurant eventually, and eventually open a 24-hour type of, you know, kitchen for people in India that are starving. And so I totally trusted the thought that even entered my mind, and I acted on that thought. So I applied to the culinary school in Austin, Texas. We live in Kansas City right now. And I got in 2 days later, and then a week later, I got a $5,000 entrepreneurial scholarship. That is not an accident.
Wow.
That just shows, Daphne, that when you actually respect the thoughts that come into your mind, and when you have an idea, no matter how crazy it seems, that those are the ideas and the dreams that you have to pursue. I'm not saying pursue every single dream of yours. What I am saying is, when you feel something deeply and you are called to do it, don't wait another moment to act on it.
That's right. That's what we were talking about at the top of the hour. Showing up and saying yes. Because once we are in tune with our authentic place, we are not going to get our wires crossed. We have clarity on every message that side of us. And all we have to do is to say yes and to show up. We don't know the next move until we show up. What if you had not applied to the school? you would not know that there was a $5,000 scholarship awaiting you. You could have been waiting and say, oh, I don't think my budget could afford the tuition. But no, that was not your responsibility. Your responsibility was to show up.
So when you ask me about the valuable lesson, the lessons that I've learned in these past 31 years is that I trust myself more than I trust anyone or anything. I'm all about feedback. I love to get feedback and constructive criticism, but ultimately I am the decision maker of my life. Right?
So stop waiting
for someone to rescue you. Stop waiting for somebody to save you. Stop waiting for somebody to tell you what to do, because if you get quiet enough, and you operate in a place of stillness, your subconscious will talk to you. You will get the answer that you need. But you need to shut up long enough for you to hear that voice speak to you.
That's right. That's right. Because we live in a world where we just keep going, busy. You know, there are times when I do retreats. I do like 3 days retreats. And I implement quiet time. And you would be amazed to see how panicky and anxious adults get. And even people who are respecting their quiet times, they would be like little toddlers trying to disturb them, because people live in a world of noise. They have the TV, they have the music always going. And for them to settle into a quiet space by themselves, it's like you're taking them to the gallows or something. They don't appreciate the value that that brings to their life. So that is powerful, what you just suggested. Any other lessons you want to point out to the listeners that are listening?
Yeah, absolutely. I have found that true freedom lies in taking action. So for me, whenever I have felt stuck in my life, whenever I have felt powerless or helpless in my life, the only thing that gets me unstuck and gets my power back, I can regain my power and not feel so helpless, is by taking action. You need movement in your life. So it doesn't matter what the thing is that you're taking action around, but you need to take action, because action is the antidote to your suffering. Okay?
If you don't like
a certain situation in your life, then why are you, and you can't wait for somebody to come in and swoop you in, because nobody's coming to save you.
That's right. You are your own savior. And you got to look in the mirror and tell that person looking back at you, what are you responsible for? And every aspect of our lives we are responsible for. All the other inputs that we get from people, they are just like icing on the cake. We are totally, totally responsible for those results of our lives.
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to remind people that they can call in with their questions, 646-915-8166. Call in, let me hear from you. Any remarks, any questions, any experiences that you have had with Vaishavi's work, I want to hear from you. And if you're in the chat room, I want for you to write it in that little box below, and I will read it for you. The number you can do so is 646-915-8166. I want to remind you to also visit my website, DaphneClarkHudson.com, and sign up there so you can get my transformational tips every day beginning 2014. And for the heart-centered boot camp, you can join me on the 3rd. It's going to be up for 24 hours. And to get access to that, and to sign up for your 30 minutes of complimentary transformational coaching, visit DaphneClarkHudson.com/HCBB2013. And if you are just joining, my honored guest is Vaishavi Kumar. Vaishavi, back to you, my sister. We only have 45 minutes and 13 seconds remaining.
That is a lot of time. That's a lot of time.
Oh, really? Oh, not a lot of time when we're going at the speed we are going. So as you look back over your journey, part of it was challenging, but the one thing I heard that was consistent from an early age, you knew who you were, one. Number two, you knew you were different. You know you were special. And you knew that you were called for something phenomenal. How many 14-year-olds know that something needs to be done about some people who are eating banana peel, who does not have a bathroom to go, and here I am in a world of abundance. So as you grow up and you share all of these intentions with people you encounter, what are some of the feedbacks that you have gotten, whether favorable or not?
I've gotten a lot of feedback. I mean, my parents and my husband and two of my best friends are my go-to. Do you want to know positive feedback or not so positive feedback?
Both, because, you know, we are not here, Vasavi, to tell people everything is going to be sweet and dandy, because it's not. We want to show them that regardless of what you encounter, you got to believe in that which you are called to do to pursue it to the end. So we want the sweet, we want the sour, we want the bitter, and we want the tangy.
All right, well, I can talk about the sweet first. You know, the sweet, I got to say this, Daphne, I don't get swayed either way. So whether somebody says something sweet to me, whether somebody says something sour, I have learned over the years not to get affected by either. So I get beautiful emails from clients, from my subscribers. If you go to vasavikumar.com, you know, I have tons of free stuff that I give away. I get people who are on my who have subscribed to my list, and they say the kindest things to me. It doesn't affect me. On the flip side, if I get an email from somebody saying, I don't understand, why are you like this, what do you do, I don't get affected by that either. I've learned not to get affected by the praise or the criticism, because it's all good. Right? Because that is what keeps me unshakable, because if I'm going to get all, you know, let it get to my head when I get praise, but then the minute somebody says something critical or I don't like and it knocks me down, I am not going to be standing straight. I'm going to be being knocked back and forth. So I've learned over the years to not let any of it affect me. And a lot of people would say, you know, wow, Voss, you're emotionless. I'm not emotionless. I just don't get affected by what other people say. I've had to learn.
I want to interject here, because one of the things, this is very vital what you're now saying, because individuals tend things personally. And especially when we get things that's on the tangy, sour side, it's not intended for you as a person, but the person that is dispensing that at the time, they are doing so out of their personal hurt or injury. So you are the first person that turns up and they give it all to you. So you got to know that you got to look at the situation and say, help this person through this situation that they found it essential to say X, Y, Z. Because honestly and truly, that was not directed at you. But a lot of times, people get so caught up in it and take it personally, and then the sparks start flying with harsh words, and before you know it, it's like you're pouring gasoline and then strike a match. So you have to know when to remove yourself on it. If it's too much praise, you show grateful. If it's mediocre praise, you show grateful. But also, when something hurtful come your side, you got to help to send the positive energy to that person that will help them to heal.
Yep.
Oh, all right. So now let's talk about your new venture and your true commitment to vegetarian and educating yourself in that arena. And how you mentioned not only opening a restaurant, but you also want to have a kitchen in India that will feed those people who aren't able to get a nutritional meal. Let's talk about that and what those two projects look like, please.
Yeah, so this is a perfect example of why your crazy dreams aren't so crazy after all, and the only person that you need to answer to is yourself and have the support of people who believe in you. So, you know, I was raised a vegetarian. I don't eat any – we're not vegan. We're vegetarian. So, you know, I don't eat any animals like, you know, chicken, fish, beef, anything like that, nothing that had a head on it. And so when I was five, I said, you know, I wanted to become a chef. But growing up in an Indian immigrant household, we don't become chefs. We become doctors. We get the Ivy League education. And I did all of that.
Yeah.
But I always believed that whatever wishes and dreams we had as children, those are the purest. And we need to listen to that and recall that, what we wanted to do as kids, because there's so much wisdom and truth in that. So I am like, I'm originally from New York, Daphne. My husband and I are both from New York. We live in Kansas City. We've lived here for 3 years. And it's funny, I said to him when we moved here 3 years ago, I have a feeling we'll be out of here in 3 years. I had no idea how. I just knew, I just had that gut feeling that we'd be out of here in 3 years. And so in September, I said to myself, I was talking to my husband, I said, I think I really want to go back to vegetarian. I want to go to vegetarian culinary school. I love to cook. I love to feed people. Food is love for me. If I love you, I cook for you. I infuse all my love and my soul into cooking. And so I said, you know what? I have nothing to lose. My business is going well. We're going to just keep it going. I'm not going to be doing a lot of the one-on-one coaching, but I have, you know, three signature programs on my website at vasavikumar.com that you can just buy straight from there. So I've worked my butt off these past 3 years to set up my business so it's automated, okay? So I can kindly exit, and I can do other things that I really want to, that I'm really passionate about. So we're moving literally in 2 weeks, December 15th.
Wow.
We're out of Kansas City. We're moving to Austin. We have a two-bedroom, two-bath, and I start school January 6th. And I will be – it's a 900-hour program. It's 6 months. I'll be Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4, Friday, 8 to 1, and I'm learning vegetarian, vegan, raw, macrobiotic, and Ayurvedic cooking. And then after I graduate, I got to do, you know, a few hours of externship, and then eventually I'll just open my own restaurant. And I want to share this with your listeners, is that I actually plan on waitressing. I actually plan on waitressing when I move to Austin. And a lot of people don't get it. I haven't publicly shared this, you know, on my social media. If you go to Vasavi Kumar on my Facebook, I haven't shared this just yet. But I remember when I told my parents about this, they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're going to be a waitress. I said, well, listen, I want to learn the restaurant industry. I truly believe that if you want to, if I truly believe that if you want to become a master at something, if you want to become a master at something, you have to humble yourself enough to know every single role.
That's right.
Right? So not only do I want to be in the back of the house cooking, I want to understand what it's like to be a host. What is it like to be a waitress?
A waitress.
So,
exactly.
You know, for all your viewers listening, whatever it is that you want to do, just get started and get that knowledge. Nobody can take that knowledge away from you. You know?
Because, you know, Vasavi, the vegetarian piece is going to be like a cake for you. That's your entire life. You just need to now perfect the craft. Serving it to the general public, that's what is going to be different. And you are doing the right thing by going into a restaurant, waitressing, talking to customers, seeing what their preferences are with these dishes. If you are going to wait until you become the owner to do that, then it's going to be too late. And again, you are just showing that how important it is for saying yes and showing up to that which you're instructed to do.
Yep. So, I think what this boils down to is part of my message and everything that I share with people is whatever you got to do to make it happen, make it happen. Do whatever you got to do. Be relentless. You know, we're actually switching up a few things on my website, and one of the main headers is going to be, are you willing to be relentless? in pursuit of your dreams? Are you willing to do whatever it takes, no matter how stupid you look, no matter how crazy you look, no matter, you know, your ego telling you, oh, my God, you're too good for that, you're better than that, whatever your ego is telling you, that chatter, are you willing to do whatever it takes? And
if it's
yes, then you know what? You're halfway there. But if you're not willing to do it, then don't kid yourself a minute longer. Because, like I said, it goes back to how bad do you want it? And what are you willing to do to get it? If you're not willing to do the work, stop kidding yourself.
That's right. And, you know, even if you look right now and tomorrow morning and you say you're not ready to do the work, it does not mean that you will never be ready. It's just telling you that there's work that you need to do on the inside to be ready. But what we are telling you, spend the time to do what it takes to be ready. Because nothing is going to happen overnight until it's like stripping the onion. It's like stripping the bulb of the onion. You know, sometimes you start on the outside and it's rotted, and you decide, let me strip this down and see how far this goes. But until you begin to strip that onion bulb back, you're not going to see it in part. And what we are telling you now, spend the time to move the rotted or the decayed portion so you can really nourish and cherish that section that is still intact. Vasavi, let's talk about what your intentions are for the program you want to do in India for those people.
Yeah, this is I love this question because my ideas on this change every time. But basically what I want to do is I want to start off in one location, probably in the southern part of India where my family's from, and I literally want to just buy a space where we have trained chefs where I'm making the menu, so it's healthy, it's good, but it's still plentiful and you feel full and satisfied, and I want there to be, you know, shifts. So 24/7 around the clock there is food available, or at least, you know, we open early in the morning and we close very late at night. I want to make sure that people, no matter what time of day it is, that they have access to food. And eventually I want to do that all over India. I would love it to be like, you know, in every major city, but you know, for me Daphne, it is absolutely ridiculous. And it's absolutely ridiculous that people have to go to sleep hungry, and not if I can help it. Not if I can help it. And also, Daphne, here's the thing, right? Like, it's not about me at the end of the day. I know that my life has been put here to make a difference in the lives of others. So, you know, I take very good care of myself. I love myself. I'm nice to myself. I'm kind, and I do what I got to do. But I do all of those things because I know that I am a vehicle for my purpose. And if I don't take care of myself, I will not be able to have that come out into the universe. So, you know, for me, a lot of times when I hear people say that they want to help other people, I say, well, you know what? It doesn't take a lot to do that. You can help anybody at any given moment.
I tell you, Vasavi, I'm listening to you and I'm tearing up because last year when I accidentally went back to my former school in Jamaica, it was not on my radar to go to my school. I just went there by accident, only to be told by the principal that these students are coming to school without breakfast. And the minute she said that to me, I heard the voice said to me, that's why you're here today. I stood there and I made a commitment to her that I'm committing to provide breakfast for these 100 children. I don't know how I am going to do it, but I'm making the commitment. And I came back. And I remember that for a large number of years, I was always dreaming about my school and different things. And when I decided that I was going to use the program to also empower the parents and have them grow the produce that cook at the canteen, and as they expand on that, then they can spread the program to other schools and we could provide other schools with the produce that they grow. And I look at this and I said, this is a big vision. But I say, you know something? I am showing up. It's not for me to figure out how it's going to happen. And when I went back in old journals, I realized that I was dreaming about banana. I was dreaming about corn, chicken coop, all kind of different things, which are now the things that I'm looking to have the families do. So it's amazing when you turn up and to see how things begin to unravel, you know? So
yep.
I honor you for showing up and for saying yes, because everybody deserves not to go to bed hungry. And there's so much wastage that takes place in this country. And the rest of the world is starving. And, you know, we can come together and make a great difference in people's lives, because it does not take a lot of money to provide a meal in another country for someone. I know
nope.
In Jamaica, it doesn't take a lot. I mean, people give me $5. That's going to be great help me to get the breakfast for the children. And, you know, as I talk about the program, Vasavi, and I'm sure it's probably the same way for you, people are coming and aboard and say, tell me what I can do. When you are going down, I want to be part of that mission trip that's going down there. I want to be able to do something. So I want to remind people, call in 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And before, here's a word from our sponsor, and then we are going to continue our conversation.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
All right, and remember, we are inviting you to sign up at DaphneClarkHudson.com so you can receive all our transformational tips and other things that we are doing in our company. So I look forward to be connected with you on social media as well. And if you know of anyone who has a phenomenal story, you can let me know and let me have a pre-show conversation with them and to see whether or not this is a match for my audience, because we all have a story and people need to hear our story, because a lot of times people are sitting aside and suffering because they think that what they are going through, they are the only one. They don't know that 3/4 of the world is going through certain situation. Let me tell you something. If you talk to people, or not if, but when you talk with people who are extremely successful in the world, you realize that what they are showing is their vulnerability and telling their stories to the rest of the world. Because that's what attracts people to us. This is what allows people to fall in love with us and to be respecting us and just want to include us in their lives. So let us hear from you now. 646-915-8166. Now back to my honored guest, Vasavi. So let us talk about vegetarian, Vasavi. I know a lot of people, when they hear about vegetarian, they think lettuce, tomato, green pepper, lettuce, tomato, green pepper. Because they think that's what vegetarian means. Let's talk about some of your choice dishes as a vegetarian and growing up vegetarian. I know that I fell in love with vegetarian when I start dining with my Indian friends. I tell you, so I learned so much from them. I throw down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really lucky to be born into the Indian culture because we have so much good food. So I would say for people who want to be vegetarian, you know, definitely check out different ethnic foods, you know, whether it be Mediterranean, Greek, Indian, you know, Thai. There are so many vegetarian options that it does not just mean you're eating vegetables. There are sources of protein. You know, we use a lot of lentils in our food. We do a lot of dal is actually a lot of different lentils. I mean, every single day I eat mostly plants. You know, I don't have any processed, like white processed flour or anything like that. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for my body. I try to eat as clean as possible. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean I don't ever go, if I want to have a slice of pizza, I have a slice of pizza. I don't feel bad about what I eat because I don't like to put that energy into my body when I'm eating. You know?
Right.
But I think if you follow that 85-15 rule, you know, 85% of the week I'm eating amazing and at 15%, you know, I allow myself, but I don't go crazy. I don't go crazy with the food because I don't use food. I don't use, you know, similar to using drugs or using alcohol, I don't use food as a way to make me feel better, right?
I use
food to nourish me. When I'm hungry, I eat, and that's it. Like, I do like to eat when I'm upset or when I'm angry because I don't like to consume food in that manner, you know? I eat pretty quick. Go ahead.
Let me ask you something. Are you familiar with this piece? And I'm going to spell it because I don't want to mispronounce it. M-O-O-N-G peas.
Yeah, they're called moong peas. We call them moong dal. We make a
oh, that's
dish
how,
out of that.
That's how I was calling it too. I got to tell you, I bought 10 pounds of it. I went to an Indian market a few months ago, and I bought 10 pounds of it. I didn't know how to cook it. This was my first experience with the peas, but I bought it. And I said, well, maybe I can research and find a recipe for it. And I did not search for the recipe. But this Thanksgiving, Vasavi, I made a soup with the moong peas and pumpkin. And I tell you something, that soup was to die for. I was invited to go to dinner, so I bought that, and I bought butternut squash and sweet potato casserole with the soup. So I made two vegan dishes, and I bought. And the people who were not vegetarian or not vegan, they enjoy it. So how do you make the dal with it? Because I want to try the dal.
Oh, yeah. So, you know what? We have something called a pressure cooker. So we literally...
Yeah, I know,
you know,
I know pressure cooker, but I don't use it. I just soak mine overnight and then cook
it the
next
day. Yeah, so we use a pressure cooker. The way that we do it is that we do a pressure cooker and we put it with water, a little bit of turmeric, and the moong dal, and then we let it, you know, cook, and then we saute it with all of our spices. We use cumin seeds, coriander powder, turmeric, hing, it's called asafoetida. We use green chili, ginger, garlic, and then we mix it all together, and it's like this lentil soup that you can eat with rice or you can eat with roti, which is a type.
So it's similar to what I did. The only thing I didn't have is the green, green, what you said just now?
Chili.
Green chili. Green chili is the only spice I don't have. So I guess when I go back to the market, I'm going to look for the green chili. The other thing I fell in love with, Vasavi, from the Indian market was the bitter melon. Have you ever had that?
Nope, I've never had that.
Oh, bitter melon. In Jamaica, we have a vine called Cerise, which is a herb that we use as to make a tea. And they say it purifies the blood. And it has a little berry on it, which when it's ripe in Jamaica, we eat that. But then I went to the farm, to the market, the Indian market, and saw these things, and it said bitter melon. And then the guy in there said, oh, it's good for high blood pressure and to purify your blood and everything. So I bought that. So everything here that I was not accustomed to, I bought it, and I wanted to explore with it too. So, and that's the way I come up with new recipes, because as a Jamaican, I enjoy cooking. And growing up as a child, we did not always have meat. Okay, there's lots of disturbance. As a child, we did not always have meat, but like a friend of mine said one day, she said, girl, you can make a gourmet meal out of rocks. I don't have to have meat. So long as I have peas and beans and all my spices, I can knock you off your feet with a meal. So it will be interesting for us to trade recipes later on.
I can't wait.
Okay, I want to give you an opportunity to, if there's anything else you want to mention that I have not asked you, and then we are going to go into summarizing and wrapping up this conversation. So if there's anything you had in your mind to talk about that we have not touched on, please use this time to do so.
Yeah, I think what I want to leave your listeners with is, you know, a lot of people hear my story and they're like, I mean, I've gotten a lot of feedback. You know, this is a sweet feedback that it's like, oh, my God, your story is so inspiring. How do you do it? And I say to them, if my story is inspiring you, then use that inspiration to use your own life with purpose, on purpose. And, you know, I'm always sharing my story, and I've committed to a life of transparency and being an open book, because I want people to see that it is work. It is work to manifest your dreams. You have to put effort into it, and you have to be willing to work. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think I get my work ethic from my parents who were immigrants, and they came here, and they had to work so hard to get to where they are, and they just instilled in me, don't give up. Give up. And so that's how I operate in life. And, you know, if you like what you heard today, then just go to my website at vasavikumar.com. And then you can also go to my Facebook page at Vasavi Kumar. And I'm always inspiring, giving tips, sharing resources. That's the place that I go to. That's where people like to go to get inspired and motivated. And I talk a lot about taking action, because at the end of the day, I'm not here for your entertainment. I'm here to get you in action. That's it.
Yeah. Let me see whether Mark have any question or remarks or feedback. Mark, do you have any anything you want to say to our sister?
Well, yeah, thank you. You know, I wanted to actually ask what one thing outside of just believing in yourself could you maybe draw some spirit or energy from that helped you get through the number of things that I briefly heard that you experienced?
I think, Mark, what it was, and that's a great question, so you're asking, what did I draw, like what did I have to tap into for me to get through what I've gotten through? And for me, honestly, it's just the deep knowing. Like, I just always knew, and I believe, Mark, that all of us, regardless of what we're going through, we all know somewhere deep down that we are called for greatness. We all know it. I truly believe that. We all know it deep, deep, deep down. Some deeper than others, and they got to dig through a lot of stuff. But I just listened to that. No matter what was going on in my life, I just always used that as my fuel. The other thing is, Mark, you know, I've had, and I'm sure you have too, and a lot of our listeners have heard this, you know, I've had people say some pretty awful things to me, stuff that could have easily knocked me down, but I always used what people had to say to me as my motivation. It's my I'll show you motivation. I don't let what people say knock me down. I use it as I'll show you. I will show you. And I know that sounds a little bit more egotistical, so I want to go back to the first part. The first part is really that I know deep down that I'm here for a reason. I know that the fact that I am born and I am living and I am breathing, that I have to have some purpose. That there is a reason that I'm here. And so for you, Mark, or anybody listening, if you're looking for that hope and inspiration and that motivation, isn't it motivation enough that you're alive and that you're here and that it's not an accident that you're here? And so just trusting and believing and surrendering to that, for me, has always been enough. That's what's always kept me going, always.
Vasavi, would you also say along with that knowing was also the belief, in that knowing that you got to do it. There's no other way. You know, did you have that belief too with the knowing?
Absolutely. So I not only did I know it, but I believed it. And another thing is, you know, a lot of times I just faked it to make it. And what I mean by that is even when I didn't think I was good enough or even when I didn't think I had what it takes, I was very good at faking it to make it until I started to believe it myself. And the way that I developed the confidence that I have now, because a lot of people say, how are you so confident? I say, you know what? In spite of whatever my mind is telling me, I say, you know what? I'm going to prove you wrong. And I'm always up for a challenge. So I don't look at the chatter in my mind. And by the way, I have fear. I am not a fearless human being. I have a ton of fear. The only difference is I look at my fear as my greatest compass. So whenever I'm scared, that's a sign for me. I need to go down this road. That means that I am being called to expand as a human being. I don't get scared of my fear. My fear is my greatest teacher. And that's the kind of relationship that I have with my fear. And I think that's really the differentiating factor between me and a lot of other people, or just, you know, people, just humans in general, is that we give so much weight and importance to our fear, and we're afraid of our fear. But I've actually made fear my friend. Fear is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because once you call it out, the one thing I know is fear is that when you call it out, it has no more power over you. So you acknowledge it, you tell it what you know about it, and it has no more control. It does not conquer you anymore. But as long as you don't call it out, it's going to be right there nudging at you and poking you like a screwdriver. So you got to be bold to call it out.
Yes.
So did that answer your question, Mark? Any other question? Mark?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
No, I am hearing you, yes. Okay. Did that answer your question? Do you have any other questions?
Well, it brought up other questions, but unless
no,
we have
go
a
ahead.
Few more hours. Okay.
No, we have time. Go ahead.
Okay, I think the final thing is I'd be really interested in hearing a little bit more. I mean, I know that Savi's on a mission to move to Austin, but the story behind what brought her to where she's at, that's something that I'd really like to hear about. So maybe there's an option sometime in the future where she may be able to share that, if it's not already in book or CD or something like that. I don't know, but I'd like to know if that's an option.
The journey, Mark, I mean, if I had to give you the abridged version of that is, you know, I think there's a song that says this, but I'm like a certified hustler, right? So I don't allow a lot of time in between my idea and me taking action and implementing it. So we all get great ideas. I get my greatest ideas in the shower, and I act on them immediately because, like I said in the beginning of the interview, I believe that nothing is an accident. If we have a thought in our mind like, oh, I should do this, I don't believe that that's just a random thought. That thought was placed in our mind by the divine. And so I don't allow fear to get in the way. I don't. I mean, if I have an idea and it, no matter how crazy it seems, I act on it. Now, I've had to learn not to act on every single idea of mine because I'd go crazy if I did that. But when I feel something and I can feel it on a cellular level, oh, my God, I need to do this, I don't allow too much time because guess what happens? Fear takes over. Procrastination takes over.
Yep. Procrastination kills dreams too, you know?
Right, right.
So that's powerful. Mm-hmm.
So there's, and you know, Mark, if you go to my website, avastikumar.com, I've shared a lot about my journey, how I've gotten here, the process that I use. And, you know, I always get people say to me, like, what's your secret? I said, there is no secret. I just do it.
There is a secret, Vashavi. I got to respectfully disagree with you there. There is a secret, and the secret is saying yes and showing up.
Right, and now it's no longer a secret. So, you know, my secret, if you have to call it a secret, is that I just take action on it. I believe in
That's
myself,
right.
And I believe in my calling enough to know that I got to do something about it. I operate from a place of urgency, Mark. So when I feel like this, you know, that this idea or this dream is going to impact people's lives, I take action on it because I don't have time. For me, if you want to know what my worst fear is, my worst fear is to die with untapped potential inside of me.
I love it. And, you know, especially in the religious arena, a lot of people are sitting down with what is given to them, and they're waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. And I oftentimes ask them, what does God have to do? Hit you in the head with a two by four? Because he has really given you the idea, and you're still sitting down waiting 10, 15 years. Yesterday I met a woman, and she's telling me, oh, Das, I wanted to call you because I want to start a business. I say, I've known you for 12 years, and you want to start a business. I mean, take some action. And every time she says something to me, it's always something new, and she yet not taking the action. So action is extremely important in your life.
Oh, my God, it is. It is what you, I mean, it's the reason why I'm here. It's the reason why I built my brand. I mean, like I said, there is not a magic pill. There is no magic fairy dust. I just keep going and going. I don't have time to sit and just think about things. I don't do that. I'm in motion. And, of course, I have moments where I take rest. I take care of myself. But when it comes to my dreams, when it comes to my vision, when it comes to my purpose, I don't have time to just sit around and think about it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right, Mike. Mark, you have the microphone. Anything else?
I think just to hear the wrap up of how she is going to be moving forward to Austin and how long that's going to take. And then when does she envision? Vasavi, when do you envision getting to India to actually implement your dream?
I've actually already thought about this, Mark, so I love that I'm actually having to say this out loud. So I start school in January. I'm done 6 months from then. So after that, so that's February, March, April, May, June, July, August. So by July, August, I'll be done with school. And then the rest of the year, basically August through December, I have to do my externship to completely graduate. And then in the process, so trust and believe that in this next year, I'm not just going to be a student. I am also going to be researching, looking, talking to people who are restaurant owners, thinking of my concept of what do I want my restaurant to be like. My goal is by mid-2015, you know, that whole process I'll be using to launch my restaurant, right? And so because I'm already in progress and I have built a brand, I'm not worried about my restaurant not doing well because I'm already building my brand. I already have quite a following. So when I open my restaurant, it'll be open to the public in Austin is what I'm thinking. And then making money from that, being able to then start doing my kitchen in India, and that I would love to happen by 2016. So I'd love to do all of this before I'm 35. I'm 31, so I've given myself 4 years, and it'll probably happen in less time than that. But this is my plan, okay? But my father always says this, that whenever we make plans, God laughs. So what I know is that I have my strategy, I have my plan, Mark, but I also know that what's in store for me is far greater than even I can imagine. So I'm down for the ride. I got to do what I got to do. God's given me the tools that I need. I have to use that, and whatever is meant to happen will happen, but I got to still do the work. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I get very clearly, Vasavi, that by 2015, there's going to be more than one restaurant in play. That's what I'm picking up.
Oh, my God. From your mouth to God's ears, I hope.
That's right. Not hope, yeah. You accept. You accept. Again,
I accept it. You're absolutely right.
Just an affirmation to show that all you got to do is to say yes and to show up. Vasavi, I thank you for sharing and investing your time and knowledge and expertise in adding value to my listenership. Mark, I thank you for calling in, and for all of you who are listening in the chat room, and for those who are on all their little tablets and everything else listening, I thank you. I want you to share this episode and this segment with everybody, because this is a conversation that everybody needs to hear. This will ruffle your feathers, and it will help you to get off your comfort throne to do that which you are called to do. Do you have any closing words, Vasavi?
I would say that, you know, everything, I'll say what I say at the end of every interview. If you enjoyed this interview, that's great. But remember, do something with this knowledge. Don't let it just collect dust. I always say don't let your self-help become shelf-help. If you've been inspired, if you've been motivated, don't just sit with it. Do something, because that little feeling that you have inside of you, like, oh, my God, I got to do something with this knowledge, don't just let it sit there. I'm not here for your entertainment, right? I am not a performer. I am somebody that has been put here on this earth to inspire people to take action. So if you feel inspired to take action, take action. You know what it is that you need to do. Trust that you know what you need to do, and just go do it.
All right. So you heard it. You heard it here. And as always, we promise that we want to inspire and empower and help you to become transformed. And this episode today has done so. I thank all my supporters and listeners. And again, I encourage you to stop by DaphneClarkHudson.com and become part of my tribe. We got a lot of goodies that is coming up in the new year for you. Continued success, Vasavi, in everything that you can do, and keep us in the loop with everything that you are doing, my sister. And for those of you out there, I just want to remind you that you were called for greatness. You have a destiny. And do not allow anyone or anything to derail you. Stay blessed. I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this.
Thank you for showing me and directing me.
Hallelujah. To my destiny.
I
dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me, speak to it, my destiny, come on, you declare it to the Lord, thank you, Jesus, I speak purpose tonight, hallelujah, you will open that business, and direct it, hallelujah, to my destiny.
My destiny.
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.